Good morning, everyone, and thank all of you for being here on another quite rainy but beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with. Seems like I haven't seen you for a week, but I'm so glad to see you again. I'm glad we get to see each other once a week, sing praises to our Lord, take the Lord's Supper, and do the things that we are required to do. And I love that last song of Charlie, Farther Along, We'll All Understand, and what a wonderful lesson that song teaches. But I want to talk to you this morning about the preacher who failed, or did he? This morning's lesson is taken mostly from the Old Testament, and the application is relevant to us today, and you'll see why. The title of this morning's lesson is The Preacher Who Failed, or Did He? Open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah, the 55th chapter, where we'll begin. Now, it was probably in the year of 701 B.C., although some say 688 B.C. In either case, it was a desperate situation. The great city of Jerusalem stood helpless before the advancing force of the Assyrian army. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, had already taken over 40 Judean cities and had a great host, and a great host of Jews were in captivity. Approximately 20 years before this time, Judah's sister nation, Israel, the northern kingdom, had fallen before the mighty Assyrians. Now it appears inevitable that Judah and Jerusalem would share Israel's fate. But Judah had a weapon that Assyria's seemingly invincible army had not counted on, a prophet of Jehovah named Isaiah. With Isaiah stood the good King Hezekiah. They prepared Jerusalem's defense, and it was not with political maneuvering, nor economic persuasion, nor even with armed might. They had based their defense upon the power of Jehovah their God. Their confidence was amply repaid. The Lord sent forth his angel to smite the Assyrians, and in one night 185,000 Syrians perished. Sennacherib returned to Assyria, where he ultimately was assassinated. Isaiah's long years of prophetic effort had succeeded. Jerusalem was saved. But now we move forward about another 100 years into the year of 586 B.C., and the great city of Jerusalem lays in smoldering ruin. Attack after attack had been launched against her by the Babylonians, successors to the power and might of the Assyrians, and one proud city of David, the once proud city of David, is now desolate. During this time, and for several years prior to the rise of Babylon, a prophet worthy to be ranked with Isaiah had sought to turn the people back to Jehovah. During his early years, the prophet Jeremiah had the help of a king whose zeal for God equaled and maybe even surpassed that of Hezekiah. Yet when King Josiah died, the steady downturn of the people was evidence of the king and the prophet's failure to effect a real and lasting reform among them. Now the scene is sad. Jeremiah and a pitiful remnant are left behind by the victorious Babylonians, seeking to survive and struggling to rebuild a stable society. Meanwhile, in the background is a smoldering husk of the mighty city of Jerusalem, standing as a mute testimony of Jeremiah's failure. Isaiah had saved the city from the Assyrians. Jeremiah had failed to save her from the Babylonians. But was Jeremiah truly a failure? Listen to the words of his great predecessor, Isaiah, from Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. Please look with me. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Now there are many lessons here for all Christians can learn from Jeremiah, central to which is the child of God who faithfully lives and declares God's message for his time is never alone. Let me repeat that. The child of God who faithfully lives and declares God's message for his time is never a failure. What happens may not be what the world views as success, and it may be even that some of the brethren would brand him a failure. But that does not make the faithful child of God a failure in God's sight. So let's spend some time examining Jeremiah and learning the pertinent lesson for us. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 1. And we'll read the whole of Jeremiah's call from Jehovah. Starting in verse 1, Jeremiah 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the exile of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck out, to pluck up, and to break down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north the evil will break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all families of the kingdom of the north, declares the Lord. And they will come, and they will set each one his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all its walls around about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will pronounce my judgment on them concerning all their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me and have offered sacrifices to other gods and worshiped their works with their own hands. Now gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all of which I command you. Do not be dismayed before them, lest I dismay you before them. Now behold, I have made you today as a fortified city, and as a pillar of iron, as a walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, to its princes, to its priests, and to the people of the land. And they will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. You'll notice that Jehovah announced to Jeremiah that he had a purpose for this young man's life. Jeremiah was born to be a prophet, and God was calling on him to fulfill that purpose. Jehovah told Jeremiah to go where I send you and just speak what I command you. He was entrusted with the word for the purposes of destroying evil from among the people and building up righteousness. All of this to be accomplished in a time of decreasing righteousness and increasing disrespect for Jehovah and his word. This was quite a task for any man to be asked to undertake, and especially a young man. Actually, Jeremiah's first response was, you may remember, when he said, "Behold, I do not know how to speak because I'm a youth." But Jehovah said, "I am with you to deliver you." He even further assured Jeremiah that though men would resist him, they would not be able to overcome the divine strength that would be his defense. Though men would scoff at Jeremiah's message, the Lord was watching over his word to fulfill it. Those were desperate times, and they demanded a faithful, courageous man, and Jeremiah was that man. He was the right man for the job. Come with me back to the New Testament for a moment, to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Likewise today, all faithful children of God have a commission from the Lord. It was given first to the apostles in the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, and has passed to us today because those apostles were to teach those that they had baptized to observe the very same marching orders. Verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This commission is a heavy burden, brethren. It is a heavy burden. And I believe that all faithful children of God occasionally feel the weight of it upon their shoulders. But as was the case with Jeremiah, we are never alone in this. We're never alone. "I am with you always, even till the end of the age," Jesus said, or end of the world. We should all give careful consideration to the words of Hebrews chapter 13 when the burden seems too heavy. And if you would, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and read verses 5 and 6. Hebrew writer wrote, beginning in verse 5 of Hebrews 13, "Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me?" So here now is Jeremiah, commissioned and sent unto the people. If there was ever a group of people who should have listened, they were it. But did they? Not on your life. For the most part, Jeremiah's words fell on deaf ears, and not just on deaf ears, but on very negative ears. Jeremiah chapter 11 shows that very early in his prophetic ministry, the people of his own town, Anathoth, sought to kill him. A little later, Persher, a priest and a high official in the temple, had Jeremiah beaten and confined in stocks. That's in chapter 20. Jeremiah often faced death and once was saved only by the direct intervention of Jehovah. Chapter 36 tells us about that. Most of the time that Jerusalem was under siege, Jeremiah found himself in one dreary dungeon after another. I suspect, however, that equal to the physical abuse that Jeremiah had to endure was the mental and emotional pain of having his words constantly rejected by the lies of the false prophets. It seems as though the attitude of the majority of people toward Jeremiah's words is illustrated in what King Jehoiakim did in chapter 36. And I wish you would turn with me over to chapter 36. Chapter 36, we're going to read verses 2 through 4. "Take a scroll and write on it all the words which I have spoken to you concerning Israel and concerning Judah and concerning all the nations from the day I first spoke to you, from the days of Josiah even to this day. Perhaps the house of Judah will hear all the calamity which I have planned to bring on them, in order that every man will turn from his evil way, that I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him on a scroll. Now, with these words, we read in the hearing of the king what the king's reaction was. Let's go on and read verses 21 through 24. Then the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and he took it out of the chamber of Elishama, the scribe. And Jehudi read it to the king as well as to all the officials who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month, for a fire was burning in the brazier before him. And it came about when Jehudi had read three or four columns, the king cut it with the scribe's knife, threw it into the fire that was in the brazier, until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the brazier. Yet the king and all his servants, who heard all these words, were not afraid, nor did they rent their garments. That, brethren and friends, was fairly the reaction of Jeremiah, the reaction of Jeremiah's words in those days. On the positive side, though, there was a faithful few who listened and accepted the words of Jeremiah and the words of Jehovah. There was Baruch, the prophet's scribe. By the way, he was told to rewrite the whole thing, and he did. And the word of God always stands and always will. There was a Ahikam who sheltered Jeremiah. There was a few of the elders who spoke in his defense and sought his safety. Even after the fall of Jerusalem, there was Gedaliah, the providential governor, who befriended Jeremiah. And brethren, there is a lesson. There's a lesson here for today's faithful children of God. Don't be surprised when people reject us and the message that we bring. Don't be surprised when they hate us. Remember, they rejected Jeremiah. They rejected Paul. They rejected the Lord himself. It is enough that the servant should be as his master. But there's a bright side too. There will always be preachers, there will always be the precious few who will accept our message for what it is, the Word of God. There will always be those precious brothers and sisters in Christ who will support and hold up our hands even when the hail of hate is falling upon our shoulders because of our stand for the truth. There's something else we can learn from Jeremiah. He was human. Faced as he was with the violent rejection by some and general indifference by the majority, he exhibited a variety of reactions. He was often discouraged. Sometimes he even questioned the Lord. And once in the depths of despair and discouragement, he said, "I quit. I can't do this anymore. I quit. Nobody's listening to me." Turn to Jeremiah chapter 20, if you would. Jeremiah 20. Read verses 7 through 9. Verse 7, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou hast overcome me and prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction. Because for me the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all the day long," he says. But now listen to verse 9. "But if I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it." He said, "I can't leave you, Lord, even though I want to. But nothing can make me leave you." But you know what, brethren? Jehovah was true to his word. Every time Jeremiah got down, every time depression seemed to just about overwhelm him, Jehovah was there to lend fresh strength and renewed zeal. This is a lesson there, brethren. There's a great lesson there for us. All faithful children of God trying to do the work of the Lord will have their down times. They'll have their periods of deep despair. They'll have their juniper trees of despondency. And when it seems that every man's hand is against them, but then God will help. God will come to our rescue. We may all, like Jeremiah, reach the point where we say, I quit, I give up. But faithful Christians won't give up. We can't, but you know why? Because His Word is in our bones like a burning fire, and we have to tell someone. Remember, brethren, we have not failed just because we get discouraged at times. We have not failed even if our faith falters for a little time under the strain. And I tell young Christians that they're going to sin, but don't give up. Repent and come back. Stay faithful. We have failed only when we do not finish the course that God has set forth for our lives, no matter what the cost might be. For 40 years, Jeremiah preached the doom of Jerusalem and the death and captivity of her people unless she repented. And for the most part, his message went unheeded. 40 years. No one listened. Even as the Babylonian armies encompassed the city, King Zedekiah refused to listen to Jeremiah. This in spite of the fact that the king could see the beginning of the fulfillment of what Jeremiah has said. Now, brethren, we find ourselves back where we were in the beginning of our lesson. It's 586 B.C. Jerusalem has fallen and lies in smoldering in the background. Jeremiah has failed, or has he? That ruined city, which seems to cry, Jeremiah, you fail, actually attests to his success. Jeremiah didn't fail. The word of the Lord was right. Jehovah had indeed been watching of his word to perform it. Brethren, it may be that a faithful child of God labors valiantly to keep a congregation together, only to watch with a broken heart a division occurs. But he has not failed. Those who remain faithful to the Lord, including himself, all stand stronger, more determined, and more zealous than ever before. And most of all, when we stand before the Lord on the judgment day and we see many, actually most, that we have preached to, that we have tried to teach, and that we sought to save, when we see most of them condemned for all eternity, have we failed? No. Saddened? Yes. Failed? No. As with Jeremiah so long ago, the judgment we promised and sought to warn people about has come. The word of the Lord is right. Let us learn that true success does not come in numbers, or in the reputation in the brotherhood, or in the size of the contributions of the congregation where we attend. True success comes only from being faithful to the charge given by the Lord. If we succeed in this, we shall never, never fail. But if we fail in being faithful, we shall never truly succeed. Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, said in Mark 16:15, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Is that too hard to understand? Isn't that quite plain? Then Peter, who had the privilege of being the first to announce the terms of admission to the kingdom of heaven, told the multitude in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that too hard to understand? I think it's pretty plain. Then Ananias said to Saul, soon to be the Apostle Paul, in Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Isn't that plain? Isn't that easy to understand? I believe a second grader could understand all three of those verses. So my friends, won't you come believing in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, confessing Jesus, repenting of your sins, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. And as a result, the Lord will make you clean as you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You can be raised with the hope of eternal life in your heart and with a prayer that God will help lead you in faithful service all the days of your life. And if you're a Christian who has gone astray, you too can take care of that this morning. You do that by coming forward after you've prayed and asked God to forgive you. Come forward and we'll pray with you and pray for you. Then you'll be a member in good standing once again with the congregation. If we can help anyone in any way, please take care of it now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Charlie.